This is ARN.
Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. Good to have you with us. It is Thursday, the 11th day of May, 2023. And this is Squirrel Chatter, a podcast dedicated to scripture, theology, history, current events, and anything else I want to talk about. We webcast every Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Mountain Time, and then the podcast is available for download wherever you find fine podcasts. Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian Podcast Community. Head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com. Check out all the great curated podcasts that are over there. You are sure to find something worth listening to. All right, folks, it is Thursday, so we got Theology Thursday coming up. We are starting a new chapter, Chapter 15 of Repentance Unto Life and Salvation. And today is just going to be an overview. We're not going to go through any of the paragraphs in detail, so I'll read the entire chapter, and then we will do, I may make a few remarks in general, but we will start breaking it down next week, and that's because I've got some stuff I got to do this morning, so it will be a slightly foreshortened show, not massively foreshortened, but slightly foreshortened. So what else do we got coming up? We got prayers from the Book of Common Prayer, and we have a reading from John MacArthur's Daily Readings from the Life of Christ. Let us now begin with the Prayer of Confession from the 2019 Book of Common Prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And apart from your grace, there is no health in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare all those who confess their faults. Restore all those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to all people in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may now live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Grant to your faithful people, O merciful Lord, pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, now our reading from Daily Readings from the Life of Christ. Our devotional this morning is entitled, What Results from Mercy? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Matthew 5:7. Dr. MacArthur writes, When we are merciful, and when we receive mercy, we experience God's cycle of mercy. God is merciful to us by saving us through Christ. In obedience, we are merciful to others. And God, in faithfulness, gives us even more mercy, pouring out blessings for our needs and withholding severe chastening for our sin. But only those who are merciful qualify to receive mercy. David said of the Lord, With the kind you show yourself kind. 2 Samuel 22:26. Yet James says, For judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy. James 2:13. The emphatic truth is that God will respond with chastening for an unforgiving disciple. Jesus is not speaking, however, of our mercy gaining us salvation. We cannot earn salvation by being merciful. We must be saved by God's mercy before we can be truly merciful. We cannot work our way into heaven even by a lifetime of merciful deeds, any more than by good works of any sort. God does not give mercy for merit. God does not give mercy for merit. He gives mercy in grace. He gives mercy because it is needed, not because it is earned. If we have received from a holy God unlimited mercy that cancels our unpayable debt of sin, it surely follows that we should be merciful to others. Ask yourself. At several points along the way, we've paused to celebrate the immensity of our salvation. Here at the end of our look of mercy, let's drop to our knees again in awe and thanksgiving, realizing the depths He has pulled us from, and imagining the glories that await us, all because of His grace and love through Christ. Amen. All right. It is Theology Thursday, and as I said, we are starting chapter 15 of Repentance Unto Life and Salvation. There are five paragraphs. As I said, I'm going to read it, maybe make some general remarks, and then next week we will begin looking at it paragraph by paragraph and going through the scriptural proofs. So the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, chapter 15 of Repentance Unto Life and Salvation, paragraph 1. Such of the elect that are converted at riper years, having sometime lived in the state of nature, and therein served diverse pleasures, God in their effectual calling gives them repentance to life. Paragraph 2. Whereas there is none that does good and does not sin, and the best of men may, through the power and deceitfulness of their corruption dwelling in them, with the prevalency of temptation, fall into great sins and provocations, God has, in the covenant of grace, mercifully provided that believers so sinning and failing be renewed through repentance unto salvation. Paragraph 3. The saving repentance is an evangelical grace, whereby a person, being by the Holy Spirit made sensible of the manifold evils of his sin, does, by faith in Christ, humble himself for it with godly sorrow, detestation of it, and self-abhorrence, paying for pardon and strength of grace with a purpose and endeavor, by supplies of the Spirit, to walk before God unto all well-pleasing in all things. Paragraph 4. As repentance is to be continued through the whole course of our lives, upon the account of the body of death and the motions thereof, so it is every man's duty to repent of his particular known sins particularly. Paragraph 5. Such is the provision which God has made through Christ in the covenant of grace for the preservation of believers unto salvation, that although there is no sin so small but it deserves damnation, yet there is no sin so great that it shall bring damnation to them that repent, which makes the constant preaching of repentance necessary. So this is talking about repentance unto salvation, but it's also talking about the repentance that we have unto life. The life of the believer is a life of repentance, because we are constantly being made aware of our sin, and therefore we are constantly repenting of sin. If that's not a reality, then you have to really question whether or not you're in the faith at all. So when somebody comes to faith, they are brought to repentance. And as they continue in the faith and grow in the faith, they continue in repentance. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. So, you know, we do constantly confess and repent to Christ. And confession is not some act that we do. Confession is the result. It's a symptom of repentance. And repentance itself is a symptom of being born again. When the Holy Spirit quickens us and makes us alive together with Christ, we believe and repent. They're two sides of the same coin. So we've just looked at saving faith in the last chapter. Now we're looking at repentance in this chapter. Two sides of the same coin. We need to be living a life of repentance. And that means turning away from our sin, turning to Christ, our Savior, in mourning over our sin, in confession of our sin, in godly sorrow about our sin. You know, we never take sin lightly. And the more we know God and the more we grow in our faith, the less lightly we can take sin at all. Just as we mature in our minds, in our hearts, in our sanctification. So constantly we are becoming aware of our sin and repenting of our sin. But when God brings us to faith, we repent. If someone is unrepentant, they are outside of the faith. Quite frankly, a certain politician of great popularity among people of conservative thought publicly said that he's never asked for forgiveness because there's nothing he needs to be forgiven of. That is indicative of someone who is outside the faith, who does not know God, who has never been brought to his knees, who is dead in his trespasses and sins. Pray for him. Pray that God would bring him to repentance. So, the life of a Christian is a life of faith and repentance. And that repentance is an ongoing and constant thing. And it's so important. And quite frankly, repentance in much of evangelicalism has been poorly downplayed, where it's not being put forward as it ought to be. It's not something that is preached on, and that's why it ends with saying that the constant preaching of repentance is necessary, because the life of a Christian is a life of repentance. All right. So it's going to be a shorter episode today. Let's go ahead and recite our faith from the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now the Collect for the fifth Sunday of Easter. Almighty God, whom truly to know is everlasting life, grant us so perfectly to know your Son Jesus Christ to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal glory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Now the Collect for Guidance. Heavenly Father, in you we live and move and have our being. We humbly pray you so to guide and govern us by your Spirit, that in all the cares and occupations of our life we may not forget you, but may remember that we are ever walking in your sight through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now the Collect for the Unrepentant. Merciful God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they should turn to you and live. And through your only Son, you have revealed yourself as the God who pardons iniquity. Have mercy on the unrepentant and those who do not believe. Awaken in them by your word and Holy Spirit a deep sense of their sinfulness and peril. Take from them all ignorance, hardness of heart, and contempt of your word. Grant them to know and feel that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which they must be saved, but only the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so bring them home and number them among your children, that they may be yours forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. All right, folks, that is Squirrel Chatter for today. I wish you the best of Thursdays. We'll see you again here tomorrow for Federalist Friday, and we will actually get back into the Federalist Papers. And I'll try not to blather on like I did last week. I've been doing a lot of blathering lately, and I apologize. I need to get more focused. My mind has been going in 1,000 different directions as I've got stuff going on. Next Monday is the first class of summer session as I'm taking, during the summer semester, I'm taking Scott Annuals' class on the Psalms. Very much looking forward to that. So I've been spending a lot of time in the Psalms and in the required reading for the class and getting ready for that. And sadly, I'm going to miss two class sessions, consecutive ones too, because I'll be up at Camp Upmost with the high schoolers and then with the 8th and 9th grade boys. Those are the 2 weeks that I have committed to. There is the possibility that I may end up there for other times as well, even if not for the whole week. But those are the ones I've committed to. So, and sadly, I will miss those Monday night classes because I will be at camp. And I thought about the fact that there is indeed not available to the campers, of course, but to the staff, there is internet available up there. And I thought about locking myself in a back room on Monday night and watching, and attending class on my phone or something. But then the more I thought about that, the more I thought about the fact, no, it's the first night of camp. I really need to be there. I need to be present there and not off doing my own thing, even for one night. So I'm going to miss two classes. Scott, if you're watching, I will be sending you an email to let you know that I am going to miss those two classes and hope to be excused. And hopefully you'll understand that, I'm doing something important like ministry. So there's that. All right, folks, have a great Thursday. Do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. See you again here tomorrow for a full episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.